Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book, How China Escaped Shock Therapy, The Market Reform Debate, is a work of economic history and political economy by Isabella M. Weber that examines how China debated the transition from a planned economy toward market reform in the 1980s. Rather than treating reform as a simple move from state control to free markets, the book focuses on the competing policy ideas that shaped how markets were actually created. Its central concern is the contrast between rapid liberalization, often associated with shock therapy, and China's more gradual, experimental approach. Drawing on archival materials, interviews, and published sources, Weber reconstructs the intellectual and political struggle behind price reform, market creation, and the role of the state in managing transition. The book is especially interested in why China did not follow the same route as Russia and several Eastern European countries. In that sense, it is both a historical study and a broader argument about how institutions, state capacity, and policy sequencing matter in economic transformation. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the 1980s price reform debate as the core of China's market transition. A major contribution of the book is its focus on price reform as the central arena in which China's market transition was debated. Weber shows that the key question was not simply whether to reform, but how markets should be built in a system that had long relied on state planning and administered prices. This makes the book more precise than broad narratives about China opening up or embracing capitalism. Price policy mattered because it affected incentives, shortages, inflation, and the legitimacy of reform itself. The book traces how Chinese economists and officials disagreed over whether prices should be rapidly freed or adjusted step by step. That debate is important because it reveals reform as a contested political process rather than a technical adjustment. By foregrounding price control, Weber explains why the stakes were so high the method of liberalization could determine whether reform stabilized the economy or triggered social and institutional disruption. This focus also helps readers understand why the reform path was shaped by practical constraints, not just ideology. Secondly, shock therapy versus gradual experimentation in state-led market creation. The book is organized around a sharp contrast between shock therapy and gradual experimentation. Weber argues that some reformers, including some foreign economists and Chinese intellectuals, favored rapid liberalization that would dismantle the planned economy quickly. Others believe the planned system itself could be used to create markets through phased reform, dual-track pricing, and institutional experimentation. The book's value lies in showing that this was not a simple binary between socialism and capitalism. Instead, it was a disagreement over sequencing, speed, and the role of the state. Weber emphasizes that China's eventual path did not mean the state withdrew. Rather, the state remained deeply involved in shaping prices and allocating resources while new market mechanisms emerged. This helps explain why China could liberalize without immediate collapse. The book therefore presents market creation as an active process, not a spontaneous outcome. Readers interested in comparative reform will find this especially useful because it clarifies why similar policy tools produced very different results across countries depending on institutional context and political strategy. Thirdly, comparing China with Russia to show the consequences of reform strategy. One of the book's most visible analytical moves is its comparison between China and Russia. Weber uses the Russian experience after rapid liberalization as a cautionary contrast to China's more incremental reform path. The comparison is not just rhetorical. It serves to underline the practical consequences of different reform logics. In Weber's account, Russia's shock therapy produced severe economic dislocation, while China's gradual marketization supported long-term growth and industrial expansion. This comparative frame helps readers understand why policy design cannot be separated from social and institutional conditions. It also challenges the assumption that rapid privatization and price liberalization are the only serious routes to a market economy. At the same time, the book does not treat comparison as a simple morality play. Instead, it uses it to show how different political coalitions, reform institutions, and economic starting points shaped outcomes. The result is a historical argument with wider implications for debates about development policy, post-socialist transition, and the limits of one-size-fits-all economic prescriptions. Fourthly, how archival research and interviews reconstruct reform-era decision-making. Weber's method is a major strength of the book. She combines archival research, unpublished documents, and interviews with Chinese reformers, economists, and international participants to reconstruct how policy choices were made. This matters because many accounts of China's reforms rely heavily on retrospective summaries or broad ideological interpretations. Weber instead tries to recover the actual debate as it unfolded, including disagreements among Chinese economists, World Bank figures, and Eastern European advisors. That approach gives the book historical depth and allows it to show reform as a process of negotiation rather than a finished blueprint. The evidence base also helps explain why the book can move beyond abstract theory. Readers see how ideas traveled across institutions, how foreign policy models entered Chinese discussions, and how local officials interpreted or resisted them. The result is a more grounded account of reform politics. It is particularly valuable for readers who want to understand not just what China did, but how decision makers thought about their choices at the time and how those choices became institutionalized. Lastly, a broader argument about the state institutions and market making, beyond the historical narrative, the book advances a wider argument about the role of the state in market creation. Weber suggests that markets do not simply appear when state controls are removed. They often require institutions, policy coordination, and managed transitions. In the Chinese case, the state did not disappear from the economy. It helped organize the conditions under which markets could emerge. This is one reason the book has been influential in debates about development and reform. It challenges the idea that liberalization must mean immediate deregulation or wholesale institutional breakage. Instead, it presents gradual reform as a deliberate strategy for preserving stability while enabling structural change. The book also connects this argument to a historical perspective on Chinese economic governance, showing that state involvement in commerce and price regulation has deeper roots. That long view gives the book analytical weight beyond the 1980s. It speaks to contemporary questions about industrial policy, transition economics, and how governments can support reform without losing control over social and economic disruption. In conclusion, this book is best suited to readers who want a serious, historically grounded account of China's economic reforms, especially scholars and students of political economy, Chinese history, development studies, and comparative transition economics. It will also interest policymakers and general readers who want to understand why China's reform path differed so sharply from Russia's. Its main benefit is that it connects abstract debates about markets and liberalization to concrete policy struggles over prices, institutions, and reform sequencing. That makes it more analytically useful than books that describe China's rise only in broad terms. What sets it apart in its category is the combination of archival reconstruction, interview-based research, and a clear comparative frame. Weber is not simply telling the story of China's growth. She is explaining how a specific debate over market creation shaped the country's later trajectory. Readers will come away with a better understanding of why gradualism mattered, why the state remained central, and why transition policy cannot be reduced to a universal formula. For anyone seeking a detailed, evidence-based account of China's reform era, this book stands out as both a historical study and a challenge to conventional transition narratives. If you would like to support Isabella M. Weber, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.